The book of Psalms, chapter 75. All right, verse 6. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south or desert comes exaltation or lifting up, like we read earlier. He said, but God is judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Now, please know that scripture very well. It said that when people are going to get promoted in life, it is not because of where they are coming from. Now, what we are seeing here is that there is what the Bible calls east and west, and there's what it calls the south. And like I've explained in previous times, east and west describes spiritually now your surrounding circumstances, what is going on right now in the place where you are. Whereas south describes where you are coming from. Whereas the north, in effect, describes where you are facing. Are you getting the point? So he was saying that where you will get to, that is, exaltation is your north. That's where you are facing. That where you will get to in life is not determined from the east or the west, nor from the south, but is determined by verse 7. It says, it's determined because God is judge. That God is the one that decides. Judge there, you know, in modern day terminologies, we are used to judges essentially punishing criminals alone. They really don't promote people. Yeah, you getting my point? But when he was saying God is judge, he was saying that there are times he judges people and he puts them down. And judgment, on the other hand, is to lift up somebody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? And that why somebody will get to a particular position in life is because God is judge. It is not because of the circumstances around him or where he's coming from. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What do I mean by circumstances around him? I mean, it's a situation in our country, not just country, everywhere in the world, that you find out that people believe that exaltation comes from east or west. That is, it is where you reside currently that decides how promoted you will be. In fact, people like Archbishop Benson Idahosa and Bishop Oyedepo had to popularize this saying to counteract that. That a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. What they were saying is a spiritual fact that it is not where you are that decides how great you will become in life, but actually where God is placing you. That's east and west. That which passport do you which country do you live in? Where, what is the price of the of crude or refined products? How much is the dollar exchanging for currently? That those are not the things that determine who will be exalted. That what really determines it is whether God exalts the person. He said the other thing that does not determine it is where the person is coming from. Now, you may say, some of you may say, look, but you've taught us this thing before and we have believed it. Now, I don't believe such things anymore. What I mean is that you said one thing 2 years ago. Forget, half of the people, what am I saying, 70% of the people have forgotten it. Those who remember it, you need to bring it to the front of their minds. There's a reason why I'm saying that again. Now, because we've discussed this thing again and again and again and again and again. I mean, but we will not stop saying it, all right? Because it's very important for your establishment. That for you to be established in truth, it must be repeated to you again and again. So he said that, what about south? South refers to where you are coming from, like I said. And what does this mean? This describes who are your parents. That, like I was saying earlier, which country were you born in? What's your nationality? Are you getting the point? You've gone to school, you have graduated. Which course did you study in school? And which grade did you make in the course that you studied in school? All right? How much degrees do you have? He said those things are the things that we call south, where you are coming from. He said, but all these things put together actually don't determine where a man is going. There was a message I preached about two Sundays ago in church, and I told you last Saturday to make sure everybody gets a copy. Please, make sure you still get a copy of it. It's titled, How Christians Get Results. You see, I discussed some things in there which I'll add to today. I believe that it will bless you if you just get a copy of it. How Christians Get Results. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, what am I going to explain here? So we think about where we are coming from as if that is the reason where we go to certain places. But in that tape, I explained that Nebuchadnezzar had that impression. He looked at Babylon that he had built, and he said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built by the strength of my arms for the glory of my majesty? And you know what God did was to take him out of the scene, essentially. All right, made him play around, in, you know, behave like an animal for a while. And then when he came back, he found that the kingdom was still established. What God described to him by that experience was that I really don't need you to bring this kingdom to be. I framed the kingdom and then I gave it to you. So after that, Nebuchadnezzar began to praise God. That is, Nebuchadnezzar realized that I am not here because of where I came from. I am here just because God, who forms everything, who the Bible says that the worlds were framed by his word, formed this kingdom and then gave it to me. Are you getting the point there? That is, Nebuchadnezzar had to understand that principle, that a man is not exalted because of his own inherent abilities. That is, you know, it's very easy. You make excuses. You know, there's one advert that's on Cosmo FM. And, you know, I heard the advert a few days ago. And every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. Celtel has a new product for business centers. And so one guy was telling his friend, look, why are you sleeping? Your friend is there cleaning out. He said, aunt, leave that on. And that boy, they use juju. So the way his friend answered, it makes me laugh till now. He said, look at your mouth. That is, every time we seek success in life, we try to give explanations, you know, for it, to explain why we are not the ones experiencing it. He said, okay, look at that guy. Oh, he has done so well. He said, in my bed, leave that side. It's because his father was a minister. It's because his father is wealthy. It is because of this, because of that. A number of men in the world who have made a lot of money and who have, who people look up to, they made statements which it will help me to explain this. One of them, Donald Trump. Donald Trump's father was a builder. So a lot of people thought that was one of the reasons why he was so successful, that maybe his father helped him. And his father was successful, actually, as a builder. He now told him that, number one, when he started building, I read the story, his father thought that he was crazy for going to do what he was planning to do. He went to build in very expensive areas. His father used to build middle-level, you know, buildings. So that, number one, his father never agreed with him in the first place. So if you're talking about support, forget it. What he derived from his father was the experience of building. That is, he went around with his father. He went around doing the real estate business. So he had a foundation in real estate. But when he went out to do it, his father was not with him. Another guy who I read the story is, then he was at the point the richest man in the world, Paul Getty. Paul Getty's father was very wealthy. Paul Getty's father was actually a multimillionaire. Now, because Paul Getty became very, very rich, at the point in time, the richest man in the world, a lot of people now say that, look at that guy, he's doing well. He says, you don't know, his father set him up. The guy says, he actually annoys him, and I understand how it feels. He annoys him when he hears it. Number one, when he started doing it, his father was angry with him about what he was doing. His father thought he should go to school, get a good degree, and get a decent job. You get my point? So when he decided not to do that, his father didn't think what he was doing was reasonable. His father had a lot of money. That was a fact. Then number two is that he said that when his father actually died, before his father died, he was richer than his father. That is, before his father died. And that all the money his father left as inheritance, he left to his wife, his mother. So, that he didn't get any. Look, by the time his father was dying, he had more money than the man. He made money the crude way. You know what I'm like, the crude way. Go out, walk, take risks, do things, and God shined blessings upon him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So, you see, people tend to make excuses. And that's what David was explaining here. That actually the real reason why people succeed in life is because God endowed them with that success. Are you getting the point I'm making here? All right, so that's why I said we should start from here. He said, exaltation does not come from your circumstances, the surrounding situation around you, nor does it come from as a product of where you are coming from. Which school did you go to? How educated are you? What kind of qualifications do you have? Who did your father know? How much money did your father leave for you? That those things really are not the reasons why somebody will succeed in life. So what is the reason? It is because God confers success on one and denies another person that success. That's why Solomon said that, I have seen this under the sun, that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong. What he was saying is that, listen, a lot of times, men who are really strong, they lose battles. You are following the point I'm trying to make here? That is, it is not the fact that a man is strong that makes him win all the time. That for a man to win consistently, for a man to eventually be successful overall in life, it must be because God endowed him with that success. Look, that is the only way. There's no other explanation. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? And there's something Proverbs said at the point in time. No, was it one of the prophets in Israel said it. He said, look, God can save with a multitude. He can save with a few. What it means is that God can take a man whose father is a billionaire, who had a first class from one top league university in America, and make him very wealthy. Or he can take one who was born in a manger, who never crossed Ikeja until he made his first billionaire. God can also make that one very wealthy. That he was saying that the fact that you see that one person made success out of life does not in any way indicate that it is his background that gave it to him. You follow that point? I need to explain that very well, because sometimes people try to start giving examples. They look at this man. We know that his father helped him. Look, listen. There are many people whose fathers helped, and at the end of the day, they didn't make anything out of it. In fact, Paul Getty, I give us an example. One of his children said money was a curse to our family. Are you getting the point? All right. Now, so please, it's important we establish that again. I understand that principle very well. Now, I just wanted to use this to start today's teaching. Remember, this is our, is it third or fourth, no? Fourth. So we've been talking for some time now about the ministry of wealth and the vow of poverty. Let me review again for a minute what we mean by the ministry of wealth. No, let me start with the vow of poverty, because from that one of the ministry of wealth, I'll go into what I want to say today. Now, when we say vow of poverty, in fact, I have to say ministry of wealth first before I can explain vow of poverty. Now, I said that in life, wealth is an endowment from God, from what we have said, but that God doesn't give you wealth so that you might shine better than somebody else. That's not the reason. It's not so that you can eat better than somebody else, but that God distributes wealth actually, or let me say the structure of life is that people have abilities that differ according to the grace that God has given to them. Are you getting my point? And that things are given to people according to how they can handle it. That when the master went out to take kingdoms, and they take a kingdom, and in that kingdom there were cities. Before he went out, he gave money to his servants. He gave 10, he gave one to each, and one came back. When he came back, one told him, I have made 10 more. The other one said, I have made 5 more. And to the one that made 10 more, he put him in charge of 10 cities. That is, he said, you have demonstrated your ability to handle 10 cities by multiplying that money tenfold. Are you getting the point there? And then to the other one, he said that you have demonstrated your ability to handle 5 cities by how you handled money. Now, the point I'm making from there is this. You see that when he made them administrators, it wasn't as if he was making them richer, but he was giving them what? More responsibilities. That is, actually, wealth in life is a matter of responsibility. And I'm going to say something before I conclude today. Before you can receive something from God, what you must do is to align your thoughts with God's thoughts. That's the basic thing. Let me say that again. That tip I said everybody should get, how Christians get results, that was the thing I started saying when I concluded it. This is number one thing. Before you can receive from God, you must align your thoughts with God's thoughts. What God does is to spend time. He uses a lot of time to persuade you to think like Him. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That's what God is doing. And in fact, all these teachings that we are doing, what we are trying to do, listen, I will explain that further again today. And what we are trying to do is to rearrange the hearts of men, rearrange the hearts of women by the word of God so that they will be able to receive what God wants to do. Listen, once the word of God is coming forth, what it is doing is removing your old mentality, are you getting my point? And putting in new ones. And when your heart has reached a particular place where it is beginning to think like God, then results will be guaranteed. Listen, I've said this 1,000 times. I cannot say it enough. Life is spiritual. Are you following what I'm going to say? Listen, before Hannah could receive Samuel, she had to dedicate Samuel to God. The reason was simple. God needed a Samuel in the land. And he had chosen Hannah to give birth to Samuel. Are you following my point? But Hannah was trying to fight Peninnah, and that didn't work. So every year, I don't know whether you're getting my point. The day she made the statement that if I have a child, I told everything is a ministry. That if I have a child, I will be willing to allow that child to do your purpose in life. God said, fine. Therefore, we'll give you Samuel because now you are in agreement concerning our thoughts. Let me say something briefly again. It's along the line of what we're talking about. I just want to say before we get to the main issue, actually. That's the issue of wealth again. That's what I'm trying to explain. Wealth is a ministry. And the problem with most people in life is that they don't understand that point, so they keep struggling and God doesn't give it to them. Do you get the point I'm making? One day something happened, to make you laugh, but last time, I went home, last holiday I took, on my way back to Enugu, I had to go home because my dad was ill, so I went to see him. I didn't have my car with me, that's the point I'm making, I wasn't coming from Enugu. So on my way from home, down to Benin, from where I'll join my family and then we'll come down to Enugu, I was waiting in the bus park. Now, they have chairman. These motor park people, they have chairman. All right? So the chairman of that park was sitting down. And one lady came. The lady was wearing trousers, looking a bit outstanding in her look generally. There was the way she was. She was just walking. I don't know what the job she does. But she obviously was living somewhere around there, came to buy something. So I noticed that she was walking up and down. That man was looking at her up and down, up and down. Then he turned to the guy beside him. He said, man, if God give me money, I'll go chop better thing, Now, do you understand the point I'm making? Now, you follow me? He said, if God gives me money, this is what I will use the money to do. You know, I just thought to myself, see why God won't give you money? Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. And then the guy will wake up every morning, be praying and fasting. Are you getting my point? And thinking that, God, if you give me money, I go chop better thing. And God said, my money. You get the point I'm trying to make. Now, that may be an extreme, okay? But you see, that's the interesting thing about God. A lot of things we are praying about, the idea actually is that we are not getting God's ideas about it. We are not, our minds, we are not thinking like God is thinking. And you see, that's not a problem. Listen, believe me, that's not a problem. The issue is when God wants to begin to teach us and we are resistant to change. I've said this to us, I think that was in the last few days, that's in this teaching series. I said every time in life you pass through experiences, try and take lessons out of it. Because what God is doing is using those experiences to teach you things. It's what you have learned. Are you getting my point? That shapes the condition of your heart. And once your condition of your heart is right, it automatically attracts the great blessings of God to you. That's the way it works. Do you follow my point? Listen, life is spiritual. Listen, David was where? He was somewhere in the wilderness tending sheep when Samuel came looking for him. Don't ever forget that. Now, it is not every Samuel that wears a robe and has long hair. I said something last week when I was talking about the mercies of David, that there's a way it is in life, which is still part of explaining this ministry of wealth thing, that the kingdoms of this world, all right, God gives the keys. That's what the Bible calls the keys of the kingdom. Now, it says, all these things you read in the Bible, they are very real. They are very practical. Are you getting my point? They are very what? Practical. When God says the keys of the kingdom, when Jesus was talking, there was something he told Peter, all right, about the keys of the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Now, generally, that would tell you something, that kingdoms have keys. Do you get my point? Kingdoms, they have what? They have keys. I explained last week that Abner held the keys to the throne of Israel. Abner, for 7 years, David couldn't come near being king in Israel. Because Abner was alive and well. And because it was God. Now, that's one thing how it works. Because it was God that gave that key to Abner. Even God didn't install David as king until either he had removed Abner or he had changed the mind of Abner. So after Saul died, Judah went and anointed David their king properly. For 7 years, David was reigning only over Judah. It was when Abner and Ishbosheth quarreled that Abner went over to go and give the king, that is, he had the keys to the kingdom of Israel. It was God that gave it to him. It's not, that's why nobody could take it. Now, when Abner was going to speak, I referred to it last week, Abner told all the leaders in Israel, he said, you know all the while you guys wanted David as your king. That is, despite the fact that everybody wanted David as king, there was nothing they could do as long as Abner was not agreeing with them. That is, he had the keys to that kingdom. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, what I'm trying to explain here is this. So, these things are practical in modern day terminologies also. In fact, you know, I gave an example just now about Paul Getty, who became the wealthiest man in the world at a particular point in time. And that's how God, you see the demonstration of God in the things that happen in life. There was a time also that he almost lost all his business. In fact, all the people, most of the, because he was an oil man also, most of the oil people ganged up to kill him, because when I kill him financially, his business. The reason, because he was growing too powerful. So they looked and said, look, we have to clip this man's wings. Are you getting the point? So they all ganged up and said, he's drilling crude. He has to market it somewhere. So all of us will refuse to buy. Are you getting what I'm going to say? So all of them, they refused to buy. The man was, he was storing his crude, storing and storing until he was about to drown in it. And the gist was out that Getty will soon drown in his own crude. He bought storage, rented storage. He kept on storing, but store will full one day. Then one day, he said, I think it was, I forget a few details, but the MD of either Shell, all right, or one of those big oil companies also came to town. So he walked up to that man, and he said, he's telling the story so that you will know that not everybody is wicked. So he walked up to that man and said, this is my problem. I'm about to be finished financially. Very soon, I have to shut down all my drilling operations, shut down all my taps, because I will have nowhere to store my crude. I have to sell them off for cheap and lose a lot of money. So the man looked at it and said, so, and the man just understood that these people have ganged up to kill this man. And he personally decided to break that ganging up. So he said, no problem. He said, no problem. Is that what they want to do? He just instructed his men to start buying crude from Paul Getty. And once one person starts buying, that's it. It's broken. And he being a major player, that is, he had the keys to the kingdom. Do you get my point? Listen, there are men in this country. Listen, they will point to one person and make you a multi-millionaire in 1 week. And you know, you don't have to steal. Let me give you an example. The man says, okay, look, I want to invest in real estate. So, okay, you'll be my agent. You'll be in charge. On everything we do, 2.5% of the money, of the sum is your commission, as an example. And then the first month, the man does a deal of 1 billion naira. Calculate it. Now, instantly, you're a multi-millionaire. You know why? He has the keys to the kingdom. And I have noticed something about God. The gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. Many men you don't like, they have keys. Oh my God, Jesus. You see that, you know, I don't know why this man is so wicked. How can I? Listen, the guy gathers keys in his pocket. Are you? That's why the Bible says you shouldn't be talking against the rich in your bedroom. It's not right. Because the man has what? Keys. He didn't steal them. God gave them to him. Sometimes before God can do anything against, he has to kill. Why do you think people like M.K. Abiola had to die? I don't know who killed him, but spiritually speaking, God, no, listen, I've heard all kinds of conspiracy stories, but some people just look and say, this man has the keys to peace. Listen, if this guy comes out of jail and says, there's no peace, there's no peace. So finally, just like Abner, God just allowed him to die. That's how it works. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's what I mean by wealth is a ministry. And I'm bringing that point for you to understand that, you see, when God is ready to lift a man up, we discussed that last week, we're talking about the message of David, all right? And that's one of the things he does. He connects men that own keys, that hold keys for him to you. And say, okay, look, open the door for that man. Listen, a man can struggle from now till tomorrow. He struggles of 1,000 years. If God tells an angel, go and meet that man, and two of you open the door, that is, these keys, and this is how it works. An angel holds it spiritually, all right? But on the earth, there's a man who controls it. Just say, look, yeah, open the door. And that's what the favor of God is about. Are you getting my point? And you know, I started this by trying to explain that when David was ready, he didn't have to beg Samuel. Samuel came looking for him. Do you get my point? What I mean by ready? Once your heart has reached the point that God says, yes, this man is now thinking according to my thoughts. This young lady is now thinking according to my thoughts. No matter where you are hiding at that point, Samuel will go out with his horn filled with oil, and he won't empty it until he finds you. That's just the way it is. Do you understand the point I'm making? That's what we mean by understanding that, look, wealth does not come from struggles. It's not from east or west or from the south. It's when God judges. He said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. And that's how he judges. He looks at it and then uses those things that are inside your heart and in your mind, all right, in your mind, uses them to assess the works of your hand. And based upon that, he decides either to lift you up or to bring you down. Every day I have experiences in life. I observe things happen. And I keep telling myself, listen, what you will be, especially those of you who have been hearing the gospel for years, what you will be when you are 80 years old, when you are 70, when you are 60, is being determined today. Now, listen to my point. I mean that absolutely. It is today you are deciding, listen, you cannot go for a prayer meeting at the age of 55 to change your destiny when you are 70. Take it, a bank it to that it doesn't work. Those who pray such prayers, they heard the gospel at 49. Are you getting my point? You that heard it at 18, 19, 20. In fact, some of the years they were born. In fact, if you've been hearing since you were born, I dare to tell you that by the time you are hitting 25, your 80-year-old destiny is already determined. I know what I'm saying, no? God looks at the heart. He says, yeah, but young, look, listen. When God caused Jeroboam, he said, the only one who will die descended was the little child that was sick. He said, because something good was found in him. And it was a little child. Are you getting my point? Actually, what I'm preaching today is that, you know, last week we talked about the mercies of David. And I'll just review in a bit and some of the things we have said before, so that we understand what we mean by God is judge. He's the one that lifts people up. Last week we talked about the mercies of David. What I'm talking about today actually is, why did God show mercy to David? And why will he show you mercy also? That's just what I'm going to explain. And that's where I started from. That, you know, I said I'll just continue from there. That is, it's the condition of your heart. God looks and says, this guy is thinking like me. Now, I just feel like I need to say this. This is just so important. That's this issue from Philippians chapter 3. Let's just quickly go down there. Philippians chapter 3. Because now I'm reading this, of course, I remember distinctly at least four different times I've tried to explain this principle. But it's so important that we cannot talk about it enough. I won't read a long portion because we have many other things to say. But let me just quickly go to verse 13. Paul was talking about his pressing forward and everything. He said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now this is my, that's just to connect. This is where I'm going, verse 15. He said, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Now, what I want to bring out here is that word, what? Attitude. Attitude. He was saying that if you have a king, I think he said mind. I don't know what word. The mindset. Oh, very good. In fact, I like that. I like that. Mindset. Now, what he was saying here, he was talking about the mindset, a particular mindset here, about pressing forward, not accepting that where you are is a perfect place where you can be. In fact, if you read chapter 2, of that same Philippians, from verse 3, it said, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. So in verse 4, it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, he now described the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. That is, the fact that he was highly exalted, but he emptied himself, in verse 7, he says, and took the form of a bond servant, and became in the likeness of men, and all of that. And then he said, therefore, God highly exalted him, and all that point. Now, what I want to bring out from here is this. You will see that he was saying, Philippians chapter 2 here, that there was an attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And later on in Philippians chapter 3, he was saying that he also had an attitude. And he was explaining that there are different parts of life that people have attitudes. In verse 15 of chapter 3, he said it this way. He said, if in anything you have a different attitude, that's what I'm trying to explain. That there are many aspects of life, and we have attitudes in each aspect of life. I said something earlier that this is what God judges. This is why God shows mercies to David. All right? This is why God will show you the mercies of David. That is, in a particular area, there is a kind of attitude you have. If that attitude conforms with that of God, because God also has an attitude. God has a plan. That's what I mean by attitude. God has a purpose. If your purpose, the reason for your wanting to do something, coincides with that of God or agrees with that of God, then much power is made available to you. Mercy is shown to you in that area. Are you getting my point? In every area, we have attitudes. Look, there's an attitude you have about your business. There's an attitude you have about your work. There is an attitude you have about your marriage. You know, that's been my very good example. I have found out that whether in marriage or business or anything, most of the attitude or most people's attitudes are very wrong. Very, very wrong. Take business as an example. Most people think that, including Christians, they think that business is about making money. Listen, let me say to you clearly, since we're talking about the ministry of wealth, business is not about making money. Wealth is not money. Wealth is about creation of value. Do you get my point? Wealth is not money. In fact, I like the way wealth is assessed in most of the sensible world today, till today. You know, Nigeria has been very, very insensible for a very, 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 very long time. That is, we think very stupidly. That is, a man comes, your friend comes, say, man, this guy is a big man. What do you mean he's a big man? See that Lamborghini outside? It is his own. Did you see that big house being built on the 10,000 square meters somewhere in one corner of New Jersey? It is his own. Did you see this one? It is his own. Last week, did you see his birthday party? It was on national TV. That is that what makes him a big man? What does it contribute to society? You have no idea. Where did the money come from? It is not bothering you. The point is that he has it. That is madness. Are you getting my point? In the world, when they assess who is the richest man in the world, they are not checking how much cash he has in his pocket. You know what they are checking? How many people is he employing? How much products are his companies churning out? Do you get my point? Bill Gates has been my very good example for a very long time. That is, anytime you wake up in the morning, Bill Gates is in the air. You don't get what I'm saying. You wake up, let me check my mail. Most likely, in today's world, at least Nigeria, 99%, the chances are that you are launching Internet Explorer to check your mail. That's Bill Gates. The chances are that when you are typing, you are using Microsoft Word, WordPad, or Notepad. Are you getting the point I'm making? The chances are that your computers are running, your personal computer is running on Windows. That is what it means is meant by wealth. That is what we now try to put value. How much is everything? I say, okay, maybe it's about $40 billion. That is what wealth is. Wealth is not that you have $40 billion in a bank account. Not at all. Do you get my point? So sometimes when people are praying, they are not even thinking like God. What is God saying? I like one thing that was credited to the mouth of John D. Rockefeller. He said, why do you want to make so much money? He said, look, I have to be rich to be able to fulfill the commandment of my God, to help the poor. He said, poor men can't help poor men. Only rich men help poor men. Therefore, I have to be rich. Now, listen, it may sound funny, but that's actually a good way of thinking. This man did Thanksgiving. Was it last Sunday? He did Thanksgiving in church. I like the way he gave his testimony. Like Pastor Annie summarized it. He said, 36 months ago, I was broke, busted, and disgusted. He said, but right now, I pay 10 people salaries every month. He hasn't come to say, I just want to let you people know that I just bought 5,000 square meters of land. All these things, he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these shall be added unto you. They are not testimonies, really. They are just additions. What are the testimonies? What we have accomplished in the plan of God on the earth. Those are testimonies. Last time I went, was it 2 years ago, when I went for my alumni fellowship. Well, I wanted to, look, I give them reports. What's happening in Kingdom World? It doesn't cross my mind to say that, you know, praise the Lord, the last year, the Lord just added one new baby, a new car, a new paint for my house. No. You know the testimony? Amen. This is the second year we have been running uninterrupted on Cosmo FM. Are you getting my point? You know, the other day I was asking, the listener was telling me that our sleeves, that we put our CDs in, that they are finished. I said, what? But we just made it not too long ago, and I know how many thousands we made in my mind. So that number of CDs have gone out. Are you getting the point? Today I was saying that, those are flyers, we're not using them again. He said they are finished. I said, but there were 4,000 we did. He said, yes, sir, they are finished. In my mind, my belly is sweet. That thing is going somewhere. No, really. I told her, I had a discussion with my mom last time. And in the course of our gist, she just chipped it in that. I said that ministry takes most of my time. And he said, but it doesn't give you money. I said, so what am I going to do? That's the question. I said, people are born for reasons. That is the reason for which this one was born. I know I'm your son, but that is the reason why God gave me to you. I said, what will we now say? Like Jesus Christ said, I know it's painful. He said, will I say because of that, God delivered me from this hour? He said, but for this cause, I came to this hour. Do you get my point? He said, look, so it's not giving you money. So what am I going to do? That's a simple question. Am I going to abandon the reason for which I was conceived? Am I going to abandon the reason for which I was born safely? Am I going to abandon the reason why I have been delivered from death many times? Because it's not making money. No, I can't. I told about my friend who carries a British passport. He had founded a church in Sokoto. He will go and sit down and say, oh boy, so why don't we take advantage of it? For what? This is the reason why God allowed my father and my mother to live in England when I was born. This is the reason that my pastor is church in Sokoto. Abi, you want me to now abandon it? Because they have lied to you that prosperity comes from east and west. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Listen, this is what brings forth prosperity into your life. Thinking like God. I said, look, there are many areas in life. There are many aspects in life. If you want success in any aspect, what first thing you must do is to find out how God thinks about it. You know, my wife and I were discussing a few days ago, you know, the two biggest women preachers in America, they just, you know, divorce, one, the husband abused, all these kind of things. God. I was discussing with a friend of mine, he lives in New York, he called me from New York, he said, I went to a church banking when I was living in Houston. He said, this man teaches the word, heavy, deep. The guy knows God. He said, but one thing I never heard him say is that God hates divorce. I said, listen, let me tell you something. What you are thinking is seed into the spirit. It will bring fruit into your life. That's a matter of fact. The word always becomes flesh. You hear what I said? When he said the word becomes flesh, it was not the rhema that became flesh. It was the logos. Now, what am I trying to say? Logos, when the Bible uses the word logos, it's not just about the word that is spoken. There are concepts and ideas. You can keep them in your mind and not say anything about them. And the word becomes flesh. It eventually becomes flesh in your system. That is why you must be careful not to judge the word of God by your circumstances and your situation in life, but to judge your life by the word of God, because the word of God will eventually prevail. Do you get my point? If you reject God's word, what happens is that your circumstances, they have spoken to you and they have taught you something else to believe. And what you have believed will eventually become real in your life. That's why it's so important that I keep preaching. And it's so important that I keep believing it. That wealth and glory can flow to anybody, anywhere, if the person is pleasing in the sight of God. Are you getting what I say? Because once you believe it, because it's based on truth, eventually you will be in the deepest village, in one small state, somewhere in one corner of Nigeria. Yet, men will be bringing the goods of the Gentiles to your doorsteps. Why? Because the Bible says that once the mouth of God commands, his spirit will gather it. That's the way it works. But when you believe what is wrong, eventually, no matter how nice and how beautiful you look, it will eventually come to pass in your life. This will just look. So we're saying that most of the Americans, they have believed that there is nothing wrong with divorce. If I mention two prominent preachers in Nigeria who teach their pastors that there is nothing wrong with divorce. They never say publicly. If I mention a name, you'll fall down from your chair. A friend of mine scattered the Bible school class the day they told him that. He said, what nonsense are you teaching here? Listen, be careful what you believe. I am warning you. And this is how life is. Stories will be... Look, listen, somebody will come and explain to you that there's nothing wrong with divorce because this woman almost killed her husband. They are trying to help you accept the fact that it is okay. Say, is that so? But for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has joined together, let nobody put asunder and walk away. Don't give me excuses for Satan. You know what I call excuses for Satan? Satan tells you stories, you believe it. Satan tells you stories, you believe it. Now, when you have believed it, he now has a place to ride in your heart and mess up your life. So when is it happening? Like, say, you see, this is not a product of bad behavior. It's a product of bad doctrine. Listen, most of the things you see in life, they are not products of bad behavior. They are products of what? Bad doctrines. They have believed what is wrong, and they are embarrassing Jesus Christ every day. I'm not preaching holier than thou, that I'm better than them. No. I am just saying that they need prayers. I am just saying that we too have to watch out to believe only what is right and not what is popular. Are you getting the point I'm making?